Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the kids are all hopped up and ready to go. They're ready to go now. They got a mess up, but they're going to the discotheque to go-go. But she just couldn't stand. She had to break away. Well, New York City really has it all. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. She is a ball rocker. She
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. As a music critic, Evelyn McDonald spent her 20s chronicling and taking part in the post-feminist women's movement. She wrote up Riot Girls, published rock zines, and even marched topless down Fifth Avenue. Then she became a mom. But how does a mom with three tattoos respond to teenage girls with fresh ink and piercings? Evelyn McDonald is now pop culture critic at the Miami Herald, and she's just published Mamarama, a memoir of sex, kids, and rock and roll. And she joins us here in our Soundcheck studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, I guess the big question, you know, can you be both a mom and a rebel?
I hope so. I think it nurtures and encourages rebellion, actually. Being a mom is sort of one of the things I found, because you have an extra stake in everything you believe in coming true, and the world being the kind of place you want it to be.
Mm. So at one point in the book you write, it's one thing to be a bad girl, quite another to be a bad mom.
That's very, very true. You know, there's stuff you can get away with, you know, if you're single. And I think, you know, legitimately there's stuff you can get away with when you're even married and not responsible for other people's lives, and that, you know, you can't when you're a mom. I also think our society has a tendency to carry that to the extreme and be very demanding and judgmental of mothers.
So there's like a very circumscribed area of activity that as a mom you can engage in.
Right.
And if you step outside of that, then somehow you're being a bad mom.
Right, right. And you know, does loud music. I had people who were up... When I was pregnant, I wrote for the Miami Herald about about just going to shows. I mean, I was just pregnant.
Right.
And I had people who just thought that was horrendous, that I was, you know, I wasn't in the mosh pit. You know, he was in the mosh pit. I always called him when I was stomach. I was like, oh, he's down there moshing.
But it is your job to, you know, to be able to go out at night and go to shows, and some of them are going to be loud, and
right,
and many of them are going to be late, and you're a mom, so there, you know, that's kind of a balance that you need to strike.
Staying up late and getting up early, the life of the rock and roll mom.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, now, I mean, there are lots of rock and roll moms out there. I mean, Patti Smith was an early example, Björk and Liz Phair, Madonna, of course.
I think that's one thing that I noticed or talked about, and I was reading other books, like Ariel Gore, who's, you know, sort of a pioneer in a lot of, you know, she has a fanzine called Hip Mama. She wrote once about, like, she did a list of women writers, and she noted how few of them were mothers. But when I did a list of women musicians, rock stars, you know, rappers, whatever, a lot of them were moms. I think there's a certain edginess maybe in pop culture, or maybe they're just coming from different places than writers. So I always found that very inspiring.
Yeah. You write about meeting Kristen Hirsch.
Right.
Who was here, I guess, about a month or so ago, and had some interesting things to say about, you know, how raising kids has you know, impacted her. What was the impact of meeting her for you?
Well, I met her actually when she had her very first son, and she was she's actually just a couple of years younger than me, and you know, she was 18 or 19 or 20 at the time. I was in college, and you know, I lived in Rhode Island, she lived in Rhode Island, and we sort of, our lives have paralleled to a certain degree. I really learned a lot from her, talking to her about how she's balanced all that.
This is a little bit of Kristen Hirsch's music, a rock and roll mom, from her latest solo record. This is Sugar Baby.
Sugar baby, I was thinking of rain. Sugar baby.
Sugar Baby is from Kristen Hirsch. We're speaking with the author Evelyn McDonald. She's pop culture critic at the Miami Herald, and her book is called Mamarama, a memoir of sex, kids, and rock and roll. And Evelyn, what I like about this song by Kristen is it starts off very acoustic and, you know, this kind of nice, breathy quality of the voice, and you think, gosh, she's mellowed so much since she's become a mom. And then the thrashing electric guitars come in, and it's like, no, she hasn't.
Right.
You know,
right.
She'll still pin your ears to the wall when she feels like it.
Yeah, you know, and you played earlier, I heard a snippet of The Pretenders, I'm a Mother, where, you know, she sings, I rage like a mother. I mean, you know. You know, a mother protecting her child is the fiercest thing. You know, we've seen some really interesting examples of mothers sort of raging with, I mean, I think the whole Britney Spears thing of her going ballistic, I think part of that is like she's been, partly because she has been being a bad mom. Mm. She's been separated from her kids and you know. Finally, the punk rocker in her is coming out a little bit.
Well, now, you were kind of a rebel. I'm at a loss to guess what made you march down Fifth Avenue topless, but I'm sure there was a good reason for it.
You know, it was the gay pride parade.
Oh, okay.
There was lots of us.
Well, you know, but that was part of the rock and roll lifestyle, too, was a kind of activism. And, you know, when you're...
Right, especially in that early 90s, mid-90s period, and when I was involved in some activist groups, this group called Strong Women in Music. I was involved in Riot Girl in New York. I was with Riot Girl when I was the first time I was walking down Fifth Avenue, topless. Anyways,
mm-hmm. But so when you become a mom, that activist gene doesn't just suddenly disappear. I'm guessing, but it gets channeled into maybe other activities.
I think so. I mean, I think that there's a tendency in society to try to channel it into, you know, fruitless activities. But I think that there's going to be a growing tide of mother activists. And, you know, and certainly when you have senators taking over, congresspeople taking over with their surrounded by their grandchildren and surrounded by kids. I think that's very interesting that we're having a mother who's a top presidential candidate.
Right, right.
The first anti-war protester was a mom. I call for what I call the new momism, that I think there's also, you know, it's been called the motherhood movement.
What was the old momism?
Well, the old momism was actually a term coined by Philip Wiley, and it was an extreme form of misogyny where he felt that, you know, basically women were ruining the country by you know, trying to run politics and it's actually another Florida writer.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying.
But it was a guy.
It was a guy
who coined the term.
It was a guy in a generation of vipers. So yeah, it was in. I'm trying to take back the term.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To reclaim it.
Now you became a stepmom,
mm-hmm.
And you have a child now, a young child who's considerably younger than your stepkids.
Right.
But when you first became, found yourself as a mother to a couple of, you know, kids who've had already developed personalities and stuff.
Right, right.
How?
Ready-mades.
I mean, at that point, Dr. Spock is not the book you're going for.
No, and I, not that I'd ever even had Dr. Spock. I mean, I really had no training. And I mean, I didn't even have, you know, I didn't have younger siblings. I didn't grow up around nieces or nephews or cousins or anything. I was so unprepared. And in a sense, and I was, it was also the time when I was very involved in Riot Girl and stuff. So in a sense, I was really prepared almost as a big sister to them, which I think is a lot of what my role has been. And certainly I think when I've been best at being their stepmother, I think it's been because I've been trying to act as a big sister and not as an authority figure. It's something I've had to learn, definitely.
Right.
Learn by doing. Unfortunately, they've been my guinea pigs.
We're speaking with Evelyn McDonald. Her book is called Mamarama, a memoir of sex, kids, and rock and roll. You've mentioned the Riot Girl movement a couple of times, which, you know, kind of grew out of the Pacific Northwest, bunch of girl bands like Bikini Kill and Sleater-Kinney and bands like that.
Right.
Very, you know, feminist and, you know, all this coming at the same time that you were very active on the scene.
Right. I mean, I was older than those girls by, you know, between 5 and 10 years, you know, which to them probably seemed like a lifetime. So it was sometimes a toughy situation. And some of them, I think, again, sort of looked up to me as, as a sister, and some of them, I think, thought that I was, you know, nuts. There were some other women my age, and I had some friends that were also involved. But it was a sort of interesting situation. I learned so much from them, and it was very powerful.
Here's a little bit from the Riot Girl band Bikini Kill. In no way want to suggest that one Riot Girl band is just like another. That was not Bikini Kill, but rather Sleater-Kinney. But what was the difference between the Riot Girl movement and, say, the feminism of the 60s?
Well, some of it was just contextual that, you know, the Riot Girls were listening to punk rock, not to folk. And also it was coming, Riot Girl was coming out of the direct action politics of ACT UP, and really about trying to confront the media. Not so much about, I mean, certainly we were doing mass demonstrations too, and doing marches in Washington, we were taking part in Gay Pride Day and abortion rights marches and everything. But more about creating slogans and doing fanzines and doing like sabotage of media and just trying to sort of create alternative media.
And it seemed like maybe to create an ecosystem that was hospitable to women in rock at a time when that sort of thing was still not.
Right. I mean, the sort of classic thing was that, you know, Bikini Kill would come on stage and say, okay, we want just the girls up front. We want the mosh pit to be a place where, you know, only women can hang out. And I can remember being at a Tribe 8 show in ABC No Rio, and there was some guy who was being really rough, and the girls just like grabbed him and like dragged him out of there. It was like vigilante justice on the dance floor.
So, I mean, do you look back at that and think, you know, I wish there was something now for my 3-year-old to experience that has that kind of activist energy to it?
Absolutely, and I have a little boy and I have two teenage girls, and I feel like the times are much more sexist, and you know, there's my son is not even 4, and he's so concerned about what girls do and what boys do. And And I want to try to, you know, he'll say, oh, girls can't do that. I'm like, yes, they can. And I can't, I don't know where he's learning this. I definitely feel like, you know, there needs to be some revolution going on and in the way we're raising our kids, because they're just getting the culture is feeding them a lot of very rigid notions of masculinity and femininity that, you know, worse than in the 70s when I was growing up.
We're speaking with Evelyn McDonald. Her book is called Mama Rama, A Memoir of Sex, Kids, and Rock and Roll. Mama Rama, what does that title mean?
You know, it's just something I said to a friend on the phone one day who's a mom and has a boy a couple years younger than mine, and we were just, you know, talking about, I don't like to talk about the balance of life, because I feel like, you know, like I'm not a fulcrum, I'm not trying to have like some Zen principle. I'd like to talk about the roller coaster, the sort of ride that we're on. And, you know, it was just sort of like, oh, you know, Mama Rama, here we go, you know,
right.
Like, let's have fun. And, you know, and it is, you know, half of it's about being a mom and half of it's about, you know, whatever the Rama is. It's not necessarily a yoga thing.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we will get a little Bikini Kill now. And then we'll continue our conversation with Evelyn McDonald about being a rocker and being a parent. Are the two fundamentally at odds or can they coexist? And we're going to ask that question of you. Our phone number is 212-264-7483. 212-264-7483. You can call us or you can email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org. Back with Evelyn McDonald, author of Mama Rama, a memoir of sex, kids, and rock and roll. In just a moment, this is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and we're talking about moms who rock, like Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders, whom you're hearing in the background. And my guest is Evelyn McDonald, pop culture critic at the Miami Herald and author of the book Mama Rama, a memoir of sex, kids, and rock and roll. And we're talking with our Soundcheck listeners, too. Are you a mom or dad who's left the mosh pit days behind? Do you see parenting as a new avenue for activism? Our number is 212-264-7483, 212-264-7483, or you can email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org. We also have live music from Jesse Sykes and the Sweet Hereafter coming up. It was nice to see you and Jesse Sykes getting together before
I know,
the show.
That was really neat, and that was a very great moment to know that something I wrote as a critic empowered somebody, which you said that I've reviewed her in Rolling Stone years
ago. You were the first person to write a review of her.
Yeah, that made me feel good.
And you just never know, you know, it becomes a thing you do every day, every week, you know, you write something and at some point you forget. You could be changing a life with this.
Usually it's people telling me that they hate what I wrote or that I ruined them.
All right, let's go to the phones. We've got, as one might expect, a number of people eager to speak with Evelyn McDonald, author of Mama Rama, a memoir of sex, kids, and rock and roll. And by the way, she will be this Saturday at the Bowery Poetry Club at 2 o'clock, 308 Bowery, to sign books and hang out and talk and whatever. But let's talk to Tiffany, who is on the phone in Connecticut, and I'm told clutching her baby as she speaks to us. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello. Evelyn, it's so great to hear you. You're kind of a beacon in the fog for someone like me right now. My husband and I live in Fairfield, Connecticut, pretty conservative community, and we have a 5-year-old daughter, and we just adopted a baby from Africa who's sitting on my lap. And we're New Yorkers. We moved up here. We moved up here. We have a small farm. We rescue horses. We're kind of living an alternative life. We have a film company in New York City. I'm a RISD grad, and we're sort of surrounded by book clubs and moms and pretty mainstream family structures. How do you balance staying true to yourself and staying true to your mission and the way you live your life without alienating your children from the community around them? Because that's been a real balance for me.
That's very hard. That's very hard. It's as simple as you don't want them to have certain kinds of foods, and as soon as they go to their a play date, they're going to have it and they're going to be hooked. And I'm not very that strict about food, but that's just sort of a metaphor. I just try to give as strong of an example of how I want the world to be and my life to be lived within the home when I'm with them, the kids, and spend as much time with them as I can to provide that strong example, have all those book clubs read Mama Rama.
Way to sneak in the plug there, Evelyn. All right, Tiffany, that's a good call to get us started. Kind of the $64,000 question to get us started there.
Thanks, Tiffany. It sounds like you're doing some really great stuff out there.
All right, let's move to Long Island. Jackie's joining us on Soundcheck today. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me. I just want to say that I've had music be a huge part of my life my whole life. I'm 42 years old. I'm a mother of three. My son is 17. I have a daughter that's 13 and another son that's 5. And music, rock and roll has bridged the generation gap. We go to concerts together. My 17-year-old son has brought me to my first mosh pit at a concert, and I just don't know where we'd be without music. I can't wait to see what my 5-year-old brings to the table. And we just, it really helps us have the line of communication stay open and keeps us really bonded.
That's a really interesting point. Evelyn, a lot of the bands that, you know, kids are listening to today are really aping a lot of the bands that we were listening to
sure.
when we were their age.
Yeah, some kids are really, really interested in classic rock. There's certainly, you know, I think there's an interest in the 60s in general because of, you know, historical parallels. My daughters are actually much more into hip-hop and crunk and pop music. But I'm actually the one who really turned them on to hip-hop. They were only vaguely aware of it when I first met them, and I, you know, played the Missy Elliott, and that was really, really great. And now, yeah, it does really bridge the generation gaps. And I love, like, I hate people who only listen to the music that they listened to when they were, like, turning 20. You know, I love to be able to constantly find new music, and that's one of the great things about my job is mm-hmm. I'm always exposed to it.
Evelyn McDonald is, as I mentioned, the pop culture critic at the Miami Herald, but she's also the author of Mama Rama, a memoir of sex, kids, and rock and roll. Kids are also germ sponges, so I've picked up something from my daughters here.
Yes, I've got that too.
Yeah, but, you know, you've got a 3-year-old now who he didn't come with fully formed musical tastes, so you're having some input there.
Right.
You know, there is a generation of sort of younger parents who seem to take it as a point of pride that their kids are going to grow up not listening to that pop stuff that's on the radio, but to the really cool stuff.
Right.
Don't you just run the risk? I mean, kids are going to revolt against their parents somehow, aren't you? Know?
Yeah. If you try to force something on a kid, that's a sure way to turn them against it. But, you know, it's about exposing and letting them choose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm constantly have music on in the car or whatever. I don't really play that much music for my son. I mean, he's in a hip hop dance class, and we did like a Mommy and Me music class. But I'm not. Sometimes I don't have all the hip kids. I'm not like a big Dan Zane's fan.
Okay.
And neither is Cole.
Well, you know, different strokes, as they say.
But I don't let him listen to Barney or watch Barney. I mean, we just move past that.
You pick your battles, is what you do.
Yes, all exactly. Right.
Our phone number, 212-264-7483. 212-264-7483. Evelyn McDonald's book is called Mama Rama, A Memoir of Sex, Kids, and Rock and Roll. And we're asking the question, you know, is it kind of mutually exclusive being a rocker at one end and a parent at the other, or is it a continuum that you can move along? Let's go to New Jersey. And King is with us. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. I'm listening, and I'm a gay parent with my partner, and we have 4 girls, 17, and 3 triplets that are 13. And
four teenage daughters.
13-year-old girls. Oh, my gosh.
But what
do you
really
need anything? Can I send you?
Medication.
A lot of rock and roll. But anyway, what struck me is that, you know, the obligation to stay constant to, you know, to what got us active in the world to begin with, you know, and becoming a parent doesn't mean that I have to stop being an activist or living a suburban life. And I've gotten, our teenagers have really gotten the fact that they have power that a lot of these traditional suburban families just don't give them. You know, they don't see that they can say no or say yes to things. And so I think acting out our, you know, kind of our militancy is a good thing, and I really appreciate what you're putting out there for us.
Thanks.
So that it sort of comes back to the whole Riot Girl thing. I mean, it seems like that was one of the things that made that such a powerful movement for young women who wanted to rock. Was, you know, here were girls who were putting it out there on stage, and you know, were taking no prisoners.
Don't be afraid. Speak up. Cry in public. You know, take no prisoners.
All right, let's, from a very different part of the country, Suzanne joins us from Houston, Texas. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm a mother of three daughters. I'm also and they're like 8, 4, and 2, and they're all active in music. And I'm actually a clinical psychologist that has a very liberal bent on a lot of political issues in a very small town. And so I just think that my girls are actually, they're actually kind of becoming like me, where they're almost too militant, and I'm kind of scary of that, because I don't want them to be too much like me. But at the same time, our area is just so conservative, and it's the thing of, you know, your thing in life is to be a cheerleader, you know, and that's all you're supposed to do. And, you know, the success in life for the family, you know, if the girl's a cheerleader, then it doesn't matter, you know, how dysfunctional you are or what you do or breed pit bulls, whatever. I mean, you will succeed in life, you know, and it's just the scariest thing in the world. And, you know, what I try to do is instill independence in my daughters. And I think through music, and kind of from what I'm hearing from your other guests, especially the guy that just called in with the triplets and the other teenager, I really, really agree with him. And I'm just kind of looking forward to adapting that point of view. So
all
I
right.
Just want to thank you so much.
Well, Suzanne, thank you. Listening on XM Satellite Radio from Houston, Texas. Let's get Lynn on the phone from Cold Spring.
Hi there.
Hi.
My experience has been, as much as I try to stay true to my ideals and my rocker roots and everything, I've been a source of endless embarrassment to my children. you know, like when I drop them off at school and I've got the Clash playing on the radio, and you know, they always make sure to turn the radio down before the door opens, you know. So, you know, you just have to find it in other ways, like different kinds of activism, you know, within the school. You know, I'm not satisfied to sit around and bake cookies for the PTA, but I like being involved in other policy-making kinds of things where you can really affect an impact and also show your kids that, you know, to create a society that you believe in, you have to do it yourself. You have to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
so
right.
It's not just the music, even though the music is still a source of embarrassment to the kids.
And that was always the intersection of punk and feminism where Riot Girl met, was do it yourself. The whole notion of, you know, do it yourself.
Right, right.
Self-empowerment.
I mean, every parent at some point realizes that no matter what you do, what you play, what you say, you will be a source of embarrassment to your kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just part of the territory. All right, let's see if we can take one more call. In Brooklyn, Jason joining us on Soundcheck. Hi, Jason.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Okay.
So I'm listening to the topic, and I'm wondering if David Brooks happens to be listening. I don't know if you read his op-ed this weekend in the Times.
Yes, we did. Yes.
But you touch upon it a little bit about you know, where does it influence and values, and then where does that lead, and where does indoctrination take off? And I mean, it was a little preposterous, his argument, but I was just wondering what your take was.
Well, let me just, for folks who didn't read the article, which was called Mosh Pit Meets Sandbox, David Brooks in an op-ed piece in the Times, sort of bemoaning and bewailing the current generation of Gen X parents who, you know, try and make their kids into symbols of how hip they are, mm-hmm. by dressing them in hip clothing and, you know, making sure that they've got the requisite hip bands on their baby iPods or whatever. What did you think of that, Evelyn?
I think it reduced, you know, it sort of reduced it as if we're just trying to force a lifestyle upon our kids and force issues of taste on our kids. And it's deeper than that. It's about politics. It's about social choices. It's about feminism and trying to create young men and women. And, you know, the CB's GB's t-shirt is just, you know, that's an aside to it all. I mean, it's easy to make fun of a kid in a CBGB's t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, it's just as easy to dress a kid in a CBGB's t-shirt as a Britney Spears t-shirt.
As a Mickey Mouse t-shirt.
Yeah, anything else, sure.
Right.
All right, well, Evelyn McDonald's book is called Mama Rama, a memoir of sex, kids, and rock and roll, and you can hear her speaking, and she'll be signing books this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Bowery Poetry Club. Evelyn, a real pleasure having you on the show today. Thanks
so
much.
Thank you so much, John.
Chicago.